Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word this evening is the passage I just read for you from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, particularly the Beatitudes, and particularly tonight, the Beatitude or the statement of blessing that says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, mercy is an attribute to God Himself, and earthly power doth then show itself likest to God's power when mercy seasons justice. Therefore, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. Quite obviously, Shakespeare had read his Bible. Quite obviously, he had been to church and prayed the Lord's Prayer, and you know the words, "Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We learn something very similar to all of this from our little catechism. Forgive us our trespasses. What does this mean? And it says, we pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. And so we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. What is startling about that explanation is how little attention is paid to what other people have done to you, and how much attention is paid to what you have done to other people or what you have done to the Lord God. 90% of it is aimed at you, aimed at me, which is entirely different than following the course of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you are saved. Now the world around you doesn't know anything about that. It is not in its playbook. It doesn't know the Lord Jesus. And it doesn't know the Lord Jesus because it doesn't have his Holy Spirit. And because it doesn't have his Holy Spirit, amazingly, stupefyingly amazingly, it cannot see its own sin. Look at the Middle East, all the different groups fighting against each other, and we're involved in this now too. Which one of the nations involved says, you know, actually, maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe I did the wrong thing. Maybe I sinned here. It's not in the world. It's not, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't think that way. But they do think in another way. The world says, without the Holy Spirit, you don't see your own sin. The world says, you know what I need? I need justice. And I want justice. And I demand justice. And I want to see revenge. I'm banking on revenge. There has to be revenge. And the world shouts, you're going to have to deal with me. You're going to have to deal with me. Sometime back, there was a commercial on television, and this is a literal quote. This is what it said. The commercial said, "There's an old saying, good things come to he who waits." And that old saying is exactly that, old. Nowadays, if you want something, you go for it. You get it. You grab it. Now, the long and short of that is that people around you from now on are going to have to deal with you. They're going to have to deal with you. Ready or not, here I come. And they say, oh, this is something that's new. This new idea. Is it really? Go down to our preschool. See the little children interacting with each other. And what do you have? You go for it. You get it. You grab it. See toddlers do that. See elementary school kids do that. And it keeps on going and going to adulthood. Ready or not, here I come. And it's at that point the quiet words of Shakespeare come back. Therefore, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. And so our Lord Jesus, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That's what he said. He had to say it. He had to say it because what he was talking about is not naturally in you. You weren't born with it. What you were born with, what you have to live your entire life on, is surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And not only do you have to deal with that in yourself, the people around you for your whole life have to deal with that as well too. The sinner inside that shouts out, or quietly insists, you're going to have to deal with me. You're going to have to deal with me. That's what you were born with. But if you're a Christian, that is not what you were born again with. A second time. If you're in any way a Christian person, even if it's a very small thing, if it's barely noticeable, something different's been planted inside of you. The Bible calls it being born a second time, or depending on how you want to use the word, being born from above, being born from God, being born by God's Holy Spirit. It's a way of describing a new heart and a new mind and a way of seeing that have been planted in you. And for the first time, you begin to see. Your eyes get open. And you begin to see that your sin really is yours. It's not just somebody else's. You begin to see that your Savior had to come here so that you could be saved by grace, pardoned by his shed blood and his perfect life. You begin to see that the people around you, it's possible they just may need a piece of that. Not a piece of you, not a piece of your mind, but a piece of the same mercy that was shown to you by your Lord Jesus. As you go out into the world is not an easy place. It is a difficult place. It is a nasty place. And it doesn't pay to be a babe in the woods. It does not pay to be a barefoot pilgrim. It does not pay to be someone who just goes out there and thinks that everything will be fine. Jesus told us differently. He said, the book of Matthew chapter 10, he said, be as wise as snakes. Be as wise as snakes. But in the same sentence, he also said, but be as pure as doves. You see, there's something in you if you're a Christian person. There's the old nature inside, that's true, but there's also a new nature as well that doesn't want other people to have to deal with you all the time. You just don't want that. You pray, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit from me or within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And when a person starts to talk that way, then the scripture gets fulfilled, or starts to get fulfilled. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so, Shakespeare had it right, because the Bible has it right, because God has it right, because the Holy Spirit has it right. But he put it this way, beautifully put, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. It is an attribute to God himself. Therefore, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. Or as our Lord Jesus said very simply, blessed are the merciful. You're blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.